today, I'd like to share with you the practice of Samatha and Vipassana. I know most of you engage in Vipassana practice and also familiar with Samatha practice. Okay. In the teaching of the Buddha, there are two types of meditation. One is called Samatha, concentration practice. Another one is called Vipassana, insight meditation. According to Visuddhimagga, the path of purification, there are 40 meditation subjects to develop concentration. Two types of concentration. One is called Upacara Samadhi, neighborhood concentration. Another one is called Appanna Samadhi, absorption concentration. Like today, Anapanasati leads to absorption concentration, up to fourth jhana concentration. Four elements meditation leads to only Upacara Samadhi, neighborhood concentration. So a kasina, all the 10 kasina, leads to 4 jhana. And skeleton meditation leads to only 1st jhana. So different types of meditation leads to different type of different stages of jhana. Okay. And among all the 24, among all the 40 types of meditation, Anapanasati is the most easy to practice. Why? Because we are breathing all the time. We are breathing 24 hours. You just pay attention on your breath. And the instruction also very short, precise, short. If you follow the instruction closely, nothing, no danger will happen to you. Okay. So, here I would explain little bit again, Anapanasati, because some of you came late this morning. So, Anapanasati, the object is in-breath and out-breath. Every meditation subject has its own object. Anapanasati only one, in-breath and out-breath. And to develop concentration, deeper concentration, you should not move the mind up to the head or down to the abdomen. You should keep your attention under the nostril all the times. If you move your mind up and down, up and down, how can you develop deep concentration? How can you develop one-pointedness of the mind? So you must keep your mind at one place in order to develop one-pointedness of mind. Ekagata. Ekagata. So the yogis start breathing in, breathing. There are four stages. Number one is breathing in, breathing out. When the mind can settle down on the breath, then you go to the second stage. It's called long and short of the breath. Sometimes you take a longer time to finish the in-breath. This is called long in-breath. Sometimes you take a longer time to finish the out-breath. This is called long out-breath. Sometimes you take a shorter time to finish the in-breath. This is called short in-breath. Sometimes you take a shorter time to finish the out-breath. This is called short out-breath. You must know it. Just in, out, not enough to develop sharper mindfulness. Then the third stage, you must aware the whole breath body according to Anapanasati Sutta. You must aware the whole breath body. It means you must aware the beginning, middle and the end of the breath. but remain keeping your attention under the nose tree at all times. Although you're aware, beginning, middle, and end, but your attention must be under the nose tree. Okay. And if you can follow the beginning, middle, and the end of the breath, your mind will become more and more quiet, more and more subtle. And the breath also become more and more subtle. For other meditation subjects, for example, 32 parts of the body, head hair, body hair, or skeleton, the object will become clearer and clearer. But for anapanasati, the breath will become subtle and subtle and subtle until you cannot feel the breath at all. Everybody experienced that. If you cannot feel the breath, it's okay, keep your attention under the nostril where you previously placed your attention. You keep your attention there, then strengthen your mindfulness, then the breath will come back to you again. Okay? So if your breath still remain very gross, then you cannot develop good concentration. Only when your breath becomes very, very subtle, very refined, then your concentration goes very deep. So if your breath becomes subtle and refined, don't try to make your breath become gross again. So this is the third stage. For somebody, if they can concentrate on the breath for 45 minutes continuously without a break, then the light will appear. The light. Light and nimitta is different thing. Nimitta is called sign of concentration. The light, but usually the light appear first. Appear in front, above, is sideways, you know. And usually when the light appear, it lasts only for a few seconds. It won't last long. Why? Because your concentration is not deep yet. So the light does not last long. First, it comes and just greets you. Hello, I'm here. So you forget it. Don't bother. It remain concentrated on your breath. If you don't bother about the light, you don't care about the light, and you remain concentrated on your breath, the light will last longer. Because your concentration on the breath does not break. So it lasts longer. Last for example 10 seconds, then gradually 20 seconds, 5 minutes, then 10 minutes. And for some people, the light appear different colors. Some purple color, some yellow color, some red color. Color is not so important. Color produced by our perception, our sanya. So different person perceive differently. That's why the color change according to meditator's perceptions. So color not important. Don't care about the color. Okay. What's important is stable. The nimitta must stable. That is most important. Okay. So don't care about the light. You remain concentrated here. For some meditator, if the breath does not become subtle, if the breath remains very gross, then you make a determination, may my breath become subtle. You incline your mind. Incline your mind to make your breath become subtle. This also helps you to make the mind subtle. Okay. So when your mind become more and more, your breath become more and more subtle, the mind also become more and more quiet. Sometimes you cannot feel the nose. No more nose. Don't go and find the nose. When concentration is deep, you cannot feel the body. you cannot feel the nose. You just know mind and breath, only two things. Mind and breath, nothing else. This is very good stage. Don't get frightened. Where is the body? Don't look for the body. So, then if you can concentrate well on the breath, you cannot feel the nose, there's no pain, cannot hear the sound, or you can hear the sound but your mind is not disturbed by the sound. Then gradually the light from far away will come close, come closer, closer and closer. For somebody, it directly appears under the nostril. For somebody, it comes from sideways above. Different person experience differently. Light, if the light comes from very far, we do not consider it as nimitta. Only the light appear under the nostril, we consider it as nimitta. And nimitta is the object of jhana. Okay. So if the light far away, don't care about it, because it is not the object of our observation. But when your concentration becomes deepened, it will come close, closer and closer, closer under the nostril here. Some people appear a little bit big, some small. It's okay. Shape is not important. But according to the Visuddhimagga, the first we call parikkama nimitta. Parikkama nimitta is grey color. Grey color. When the concentration becomes deeper, it becomes white color like cotton wool. The second one is called ugaha nimitta. And when the concentration becomes deeper and deeper again, this white color becomes diamond, transparent, radiant, shining like sun, like very shining sun, or like morning stars, or like diamond sparkling. But for somebody, it's not so bright. Different person experience differently. What's important is it does not disappear. It remains here for a long time, for half an hour. If it remains here for half an hour, you can start to look at this nimitta. Nimitta is Pali word. The meaning is called sign of concentration. Now the sign of concentration. It is produced by concentration. Okay. So sometimes the light can be very bright, it hurts your eyes, so you start to shed tears. It's okay, you are not used to it yet. But some light is very gentle, some are very bright, some are very gentle. So for somebody, this nimitta sometimes appear and like pull your attention inside, like magnet, this nimitta like magnet. Pull all your attention inside. You feel like your body whole go into the nimitta. And don't get frightened. Don't get frightened. It's very good state. Don't try to pull it out. No, I don't want to go in. Pull it out again. No. I tell you all this in case you meet, you encounter such experience, you know how to handle. If not, you miss the chance. So if you let it go, let it go. If you can, we call sing into the nimitta, the mind sing inside the nimitta. If you can, the mind, okay, so this one occasion that will happen, but not to everyone. And the second thing it may happen is, so the question is, when can we start to pay attention to nimitta? First, when your nimitta is stable, not shake, not move, not change color, stable, then after half an hour, you can start pay attention to nimitta. If you pay attention to nimitta too early, it will disappear. Definitely, it will disappear because the concentration is not deep yet. Then second, sometimes the limit starts here, and you breathe in, breathe out, breathe in, breathe out. Then you feel that nimitta and the breath like unify together. Two become one. Initially, nimitta is one, breath is another one. Two things. As you concentrate on the breath, in, out, nimitta is also here. You also in, out. Then it comes to a point that you feel that your breath and the nimitta unify together, blend together. Two become one. At this time, you forget the breath. Pay attention to nimitta. Okay? So two occasions. One after half an hour, stable, you can go to nimitta. Another one is when you feel two become one. Then you also can start to look at nimitta. And for somebody, he breathes in, breathes out. The nimitta follow the breath. Breathe out, the nimitta also come out. Breathe in, the nimitta go in. Breathe out, nimitta. Best nimitta. It's the best nimitta. Definitely nimitta. The nimitta come from the breath. So if you breathe out, the light also come out. Breathe in the light, then you are sure you get the nimitta. 100% nimitta. Okay. Then you just don't follow. Just pay attention here. The light here, the nimitta here. Then your mind will go inside the nimitta. Then you can stay there for a long, long time. For 1 hour, 2 hours, 3 hours. Without pain. No pain at all. But after emerge, after for example 3 hours, after come out from this state, you feel pain everywhere. Why? Because when your mind concentrates, the mind cannot feel two things. Okay? When your mind deeply concentrates on the breath, it doesn't mean that the pain is not there. The pain is there, but because your mind absorbs on the nimitta, you cannot feel the pain. Now your mind is not far, you keep far away from nimitta, you start to feel the pain everywhere. So this is also normal. It's ordinary, it just happens to everyone. Okay. So when your mind can concentrate deeply on this call, we call paribhaga nimitta. So three types. One is parikamma nimitta, grey color. Second one is called ugaha nimitta, white color. The third one is called paribhaga nimitta, counterpart sign. This is transparent, brilliant, like morning star, like diamond. Okay. So when you get this one, then you start look at the nimitta, then your mind go deeper, your mind go with the nimitta together for 1 hour, 2 hours without a break, without restlessness, then you get first jhana. Okay. Before you get first jhana, you will reach upachara samadhi first, neighborhood concentration. So what's the difference between neighborhood concentration and absorption concentration? Neighborhood concentration, the five jhana factors. You know the five jhana factors? Vitaka, vichara, piti, sukha, ekagata. Vitaka is application of the mind. Vitaka. Vichara, sustained application of the mind. Piti, rapture or joy. Sukha, happiness. Number five, ekagata, one-pointedness. So these five jhana factors. In upachara samadhi, neighborhood concentration, these five jhana factors are not stable. Not stable. So sometimes before you reach apanna samadhi, absorption concentration, you reach upachara samadhi first. So when you concentrate on your nimitta, sometimes you lose your object. You lose the object, your mind. You reach a stage you do not know anything. You do not know anything. But it's very, very peaceful. Very, very peaceful. After about maybe 5 minutes, for maybe 20 seconds, 30 seconds, then you start, you gain your awareness again. Then you start to look at the nimitta. But you reflect, hey, what happened just now? You know, you cannot remember anything. You know it's very peaceful, but you cannot remember anything. This is called falling into bhavanga. The mind fall into bhavanga. So in the during neighborhood concentration, because five jhana factors are not stable, so the mind sometimes fall into bhavanga. Just like a kid want to learn walking, because the feet is not firm, not stable, so it falls down here, falls down there. So also in upacara samadhi, the five jhana factors are not stable, so the mind very often fall into bhavanga state. But as you keep on practicing, then the feet become strong. The kid's feet become strong, and the jhana factors also become strong. And at that time, the mind will never fall into bhavanga. The mind will steady focus on the nimitta and enter into first jhana for 1 hour, 2 hours without falling into bhavanga. So this is the difference between neighborhood concentration and absorption concentration. Okay? And how to check jhana factors? For example, a meditator, when he enters into jhana, his mind concentrates on nimitta for 2 hours successively. Then after that, he emerges from the jhana, he pay attention on the heart area here, Then he will see if the nimitta here, let's say, nimitta here is triangle. Then when he look at here, here is like a mirror. The triangle nimitta here appear here. He will appear here. So if he can see, it's the same. If this round, here also appears round. So he will see the same. If you can feel this one, then at this place, try to look for five jhana factors. First vitaka, second vichara, the third piti, sukha, ekagata, five jhana factors. One by one first. Then if he's sure he understands this five jhana factor, then he knows he's in the first jhana. And what is the meaning of jhana? Jhana means burn away all hindrances. What are the hindrances? There are five hindrances. What are the hindrances? Number one, kama, chanda, nivarana. Sensual desire. Hindrances, ukai. Okay. So jhana means burn away five hindrances. Number one, sensual desire. Number two, ill will. Number three, sloth and torpor. Number four, restless and remorse. Number five, doubt. Doubt, for example here. Practicing my concentrate on this breath, I can attain jhana? No, I can't. Doubt, without this and doubt that. This, then you will never attain jhana. So you must clear all these five hindrances first. Only then your mind can settle on the nimitta or on the breath. Okay, so this first jhana, I think should be enough. Okay, what is the benefit to practice samatha? What is the benefit? There are few benefits. Number one, to see things as they really are. When the mind is well, when you develop concentration, the mind becomes very pliant, very soft, pliant, wieldy, and easy to shape, like a heated gold. The gold is very hard, but if you heat the gold with fire, it becomes soft. So you can shape, you can make a shape of ring, necklace, whatever shape you want, you can do it. So also the mind. The mind once is one is trained to become concentrated, the mind become very pliant, soft. You want to go to vipassana, become very easy. A mind without concentration is very rigid, very rigid, very hard, difficult to do what you want. So the first benefit is, with concentration, Buddha say, a person who has concentrated mind see things as they really are. This is the first benefit. The second benefit is the basic, this jhana concentration is the basic for supernatural power. Many people interested in supernatural power. Many of my audience told me, sister, if you want to have big, large audience, you talk about supernatural power. Thousand will come. Unfortunately, this is not my intention. Okay, so concentration, jhana concentration, especially fourth jhana, up to arupa jhana, immaterial jhana, up to number fifth is akasa nanchayatana jhana, space, then consciousness, nothingness, neither perception nor non-perception, up to arupa jhana. Okay. So the second benefit, this jhana, especially fourth jhana, is the basic for development of psychic power. We have five types of psychic power. Number one is dipachaku, divine eyes. Divine eyes can see this person pass away, where he reborn. He reborn in the four woeful states, or he reborn in the heaven, or he reborn in the immaterial world. Divine eye can see. And divine eye can know what karma he performed that bring him to reborn in heaven. So this is called divine eye. Number two, divine ear. Can hear very far. For example, you speak ear about your teacher far away. The teacher here can hear, divine ear. And also can hear all the sounds, all the tiny, tiny worms in the body, all the sound produced by the tiny worm. Also divine ear can hear. Okay. Number third, pube niwasa nusati, recollecting one's past life. Not only one life, two lives. Okay. Billions life ago, billion of past life, billion times ago. For example, from first, second, third, up to 40 lifetime, 50 lifetime, 60 lifetime, up to 100 lifetime, 1,000 lifetimes. If a person can recollect their past life so far, what's the benefit? What's the purpose to see one's past life? I have.
So you know the cause and effect.
Good. Okay. I have one, my friend. She's very good in recollecting her past life. Before that, she's a lay person, lay woman, you know. After she recollected her past life for many, many lifetimes, after that, she said, I want to become nun. I want to become nun. Why? Because what she saw, only dying, living, dying, living, dying, you know. One lifetime, pass away, another life, pass away, another life. Endless. No end. Endless. So she became so disgusted towards life, towards rebirth. So she immediately became nun. So the benefit of seeing one's past life is to get disenchantment towards life. Only then we want to escape from life. We want to be liberated from the round, from the cycle of birth and death. And while we're collecting one's past life, you see, what that karma we perform. Then we we go to the hell. Sometimes from the hell we go up to the heaven again. From heaven we go to animal world. From animal world we go to, you know, heaven again. From heaven we go to Brahma world. From Brahma world we go down to human. From human we go to hell again. No end to it. No end to it. So we will become disgusted. So we also see the cause and effect. So this is the benefit of recollecting one's past life. And number four. 1, 2, 3. 1, 2, 3. Number four. Psychic power is what? Idiveda, huh? Idiveda, we call Idiveda. Okay. Idiveda, this is very powerful. Huh? Maybe 10,000, only one person can do it. Dipachaku, divine eye is easy. Recollecting one's past life is also very easy. Divine ear also easy. This Idiveda is very difficult. Idiveda, there are many types. For example, you can stretch your hand, stretch and touch the moon. You can fly in the sky. You know, you go into the fourth jhana. You go into the fourth jhana. After emerge from the fourth jhana, you make a wish. May this space become earth, and the space will become earth, so you can walk. You walk on the earth, but people see you walk in the sky, because you change the space to become earth. So also the wall, you can walk through the wall. So you make a wish. May this, there's a space in the wall. You make a wish after emerge from fourth jhana. You make a wish. May the wall, may there a space in the wall, so you can walk through the wall. But people only see the wall. Right? Then you can go into the water, walk on the water, and fly in the sky. So Idiveda, you can change. For example, one person here, you can change to 1,000. This is Sister Susila, you know. You can change 1,000 Sister Susila here. So Idiveda are very wide. And the last one, what's the last one? There are five psychic power. No. Now Jing Tong is the sixth. Psychic power is this one. I also forgot the another one. It's Ta Jing Tong. Okay. Penetrating of other people's mind. Penetrating of other people's mind. My teacher didn't encourage his student to practice this psychic power. Why? He usually encouraged people to practice recollecting of one's past life, because it's very helpful for one's spiritual path. But penetrating into other people's mind, he usually didn't encourage. Why? You see, when you penetrate into other people's mind, all greed, hatred and delusion, jealousy, greed, hatred, you become so disappointed. You become so discouraged. So what for? You see other people's refinements. No? What for? See other people's refinements. See your own refinement enough. So that's why he didn't encourage people to practice this one. Okay. So, okay, this is the benefit of jhana concentration. To help, it's the basic for psychic power. Then, another benefit is for the pleasant abiding here and now. What is the meaning of pleasant abiding here and now? For example, a meditator, after emerge from jhana, he went to vipassana. He went to vipassana, five aggregates. Whatever he sees, only arising, passing away, arising, passing away, impermanent, suffering, non-self, impermanent, suffering, non-self. He becomes so tired, don't want to see anymore. Because the vipassana jnana, vipassana inside knowledge becomes so sharp. Whatever he sees, only arising, passing away, arising, passing away. So the mind gets so tired. So what to do? Then enter into jhana. Go into the jhana. So stay there, abiding, pleasant, abiding here and now. If you don't have jhana, then how? Because you see whatever you see arising, passing away, you become so disgusted. You become so tired. And you don't want to see anymore. And if you don't have jhana, how to keep the mind in a wholesome state? So if you have jhana, you forget the vipassana first, go inside the jhana, go into the jhana, and stay there comfortably, called pleasant abiding here and there. Even the arahant, you know. So arahant and anagami, they reach a state we call cessation, Nirodha Samapatti, the cessation of mind, body, temporary. So because they get so tired, arahant, their wisdom so sharp, whatever they see, they want to see, they see only impermanent, arising and passing away. So sometimes the mind gets so tired. The mind, so they want to stop the mind. So they enter into a state we call Nirodha Samapatti, cessation. Cessation stage. At that, when he enter into that stage, the mind temporarily cut off, stop. The mind cannot stop one. Mind one rising, passing away one after another, cannot stop. Only anagami and arahant who has it samapatti can enter into this stage. So this is the benefit of concentration. Okay. Now we come to the vipassana. Okay. So after a person develop concentration, the mind become pliant, soft, easy to workable, become workable. So then he turn inward, and observe his five aggregates of clinging. This five aggregate is similar to mind and body, same meaning, mind and body. So first, he turn inward and look at the mind first. Look at the body first, because body is more easy to discern. Mind is more fast, body is slower. So he discern the body. He discern from top of the head down to the sole, from the sole up to the head again and again. This body is only composed of four elements. Four elements: earth element, fire element, water element, fire element and wind element. Again and again, from top of the head down to the soul. Again and again, again and again, until he see the kalapa, rupa kalapa, particles. Until he see the particles, all the particles arising and passing away, arising and passing away, arising and passing away. So, without concentration, how can you see the particles? You cannot see. So with concentration, you can see things as they really are. This body is composed of billions of particles arising and passing away. Then you understand the body is not I. The body is constantly arising and passing away. The body is not mine. I cannot control it. I cannot control particle arise, don't stop, or don't arise. Cannot. We don't have the power to control the body. So you understand. Anatta, non-self, no governing over the body. So first you understand this non-self. You understand impermanent nature of the body. If you understand impermanent, you understand non-self, then you start to let go. You start to let go. Let go of what? Let go of your body? No. Let go the attachment. Let go our attachment to the body. Letting go bring happiness. Happiness, the liberation, happiness is the end of the practice. So first we see see the body. Then second, mind and body. Body, mind composed of four factors. Number one is called feeling. Number two, perception. Number three, formations. Number four, consciousness. So in another word, five aggregates of clinging. After we gain good concentration, we start to see the five aggregates of our clinging. Why? Why we must see these five aggregates? These five aggregates of clinging are the object of these five aggregates are the objects of our clinging by two ways. One, by way of craving. Second, by way of wrong view. It's very important. These two refinements are very, very important. So these five aggregates are the object of our clinging by way of craving and by way of wrong view. Wrong view as I, mind, myself, as I am, body is I, feeling as I. And these five aggregates of clinging is the normal, noble truth of suffering. Five is a noble truth of suffering, and the Buddha say the noble truth of suffering is to be known. The noble truth of suffering has to be known completely. Has to be known. So in order to know, we have to contemplate them. We have to investigate them in order to get to gain full understanding of the noble truth of suffering, the first noble truth. So we start with the body, materiality aggregate, then we go to the feeling aggregate. So feeling aggregate, what is feeling? What's the meaning of feeling? Feeling is a mental phenomena. Feeling has the quality of experiencing the desirable or undesirable aspect of the object. For example, when you taste something, oh, it's very good taste. So the feeling experience the desirable aspect of that food. It's not you. Not you experience. It's the feeling aggregate. Feeling aggregate experience that pleasant taste. You must understand in this way. Then we will not identify feeling as I. Okay. So we have six types of feeling. Feeling born of eye contact, feeling born of ear contact, feeling born of nose contact, feeling born of tongue contact, feeling born of body contact, and feeling born of mind contact. And each feeling, for example, feeling born of ear contact. When your eye come encounter pleasant visible object, for example, a man, a man's eye meet with a beautiful woman. So the moment the contact takes place, feeling also arise. What feeling? Pleasant feeling. Pleasant feeling. And if the eye come to contact with your enemy, then unpleasant feeling. And when the eye come to contact with neutral object, neutral visual object, then neutral feeling. So each feeling, feeling born of eye contact has three, can be divided into three. Pleasant feeling, unpleasant feeling, and neutral feeling. Okay. So now we come to Vipassana practice. How to practice, how to contemplate feeling. Okay. In the Vipassana practice, you have to read this one. Not now, not now. Okay. You got to read this one. Okay. So in the Vipassana practice, the two mental factors are very important. One is called mindfulness. The second one is called wisdom. Nowadays, in this world, most teachers only teach mindfulness. Lacking wisdom. Most teachers teach mindful, be mindful, be mindful, be mindful. They do not go further. Okay. So what is mindfulness? Mindfulness means knowing. aware. So mindfulness has two things. One is aware or recognizing what's happening in you. For example, pleasant feeling arises. You know, you're aware. This is called mindfulness. Aware pleasant feeling has arisen in me. Aware. Then second one, acceptance. Acceptance is very important. For example, unpleasant feeling arise. You know. Okay, first mindfulness, you know. Unpleasant feeling arise. Second one, you don't want to accept. Go away. No, unpleasant feeling arise. Go away. Go. No, this is not meditation. So, mindfulness, first, recognizing. Second one, accept. Whether it's good or bad, accept first. Anger arise, very unpleasant. No, no, go away. So you choose pleasant one. Unpleasant one, please go away faster. No, then your awareness is, we should have choiceless awareness. You should not choose the thing you want and push away the thing you do not want. This is not called meditation. If you do like that, you are strengthening your perception of self. You are fulfilling yourself only. You are not practicing vipassana. Okay? So first, whatever arises in you, whether good or bad, know. Recognize. Know it. Secondly, acceptance is very important. Don't push away unpleasant one or grasp pleasant one. No. Just accept it. Okay. Know it, accept it first. So mindfulness including these two. Okay. If something happened, let's say something happened, certain mental phenomena arise in your mind. If you are not aware, what will happen? What will happen if you are not aware? Also, you are mindful all the time. You are mindful all the time. So you are not mindful, what will happen? For some anger arise, I'm not mindful. What will happen? You follow the anger. You follow the anger. We become the slave of our anger. Then we will utter harsh speech. We will utter harsh speech, or the body will do some bad bodily actions. So this is why lacking mindfulness is very dangerous. If we lack mindfulness, then we will commit verbal bad action, and physical bad action. Then we perform karma. Then leave behind karmic potency. They will bring us to the four woeful states. So mindfulness is very important. First mindful, second accept. Okay, now we go to vipassana. These two mindfulness finished. We go to vipassana. Okay. Vipassana, the most important factors in vipassana is what? Wisdom. So first, for example, unpleasant feeling has arisen in me. Okay, mindful we know. Second, we accept unpleasant. Unpleasant feeling has arisen in me. The third, try to disidentify unpleasant feeling as myself. Why? Because in our mind, in our mental stream, there's one defilement called sakkaya dicchi, identity view, sanjian, identity view. In our mental stream, so long we are not yet attained stream enterer, sotapanna, in our mental stream, in our latent mental stream, there's one defilement we call identity view, sakkaya dicchi. This identity view will immediately identify this unpleasant feeling as myself. So in order to work, to deal skillfully with this identity view, this wrong view, then we mentally note, mentally mark unpleasant feeling as not I, it's not I, not my, not myself. Mentally mark it, mentally note it many times. Unpleasant feeling is not I. Unpleasant feeling is not I. Many times. To overcome the identity view. Okay. This is the first one. Okay? The second one, okay. Unpleasant feeling is not I. It's not I. What is it? Then what is it? What is unpleasant feeling? It's not I, then what is it? So you start to investigate. We call Dhamma Vichaya Sambojanga. There are seven factors of enlightenment. Number two is called enlightenment of investigation. Okay? So you investigate it. What is this unpleasant feeling? If it is not I, what is it? What is this? What is it? Then you start to investigate where it arises. Where it arises. If you can investigate well, you will understand. It arises due to what? Owing to what? Contact. Good. It arises due to contact. Either one of the contact. Eye contact, ear contact, nose contact, body contact, mind contact. It arises due to contact. Then you note, then you investigate contact. Is contact permanent or not? Not permanent. If the cause is not permanent, how can the unpleasant feeling, which is effect, be permanent? Okay? So first you are, okay, this unpleasant feeling arises due to contact. Not due to contact. Then contact is impermanent. Then you start to not contact impermanent. Wait first, okay. Then you know, okay, unpleasant feeling arises due to certain causes. What is the cause? Contact is the cause. Unpleasant feeling is the effect. So unpleasant feeling is not I, not mine. So what is that? It is the effect of the cause. Then you come to understand. Through your investigation, you come to understand. Unpleasant feeling is the effect only. It's the effect of the cause. Of the certain causes. So you come to understand unpleasant feeling is not I. You can accept already, it's not I. Okay. Then later on, you go to the next step. You contemplate impermanent. You start to contemplate impermanent. Unpleasant feeling is impermanent. Because Buddha says, whatever produced by causes is impermanent. Whatever phenomena produced by causes is impermanent. So unpleasant feeling is produced by contact, which is the cause. So the cause, contact also impermanent. And people scold you only 1 minute after finish. So impermanent, gone already. So contact is impermanent, how can be feeling be permanent? So you start to contemplate contact is impermanent, feeling is impermanent. Contact is impermanent, feeling is impermanent. This is also taught by Venerable Sariputta in Mahahati Padottama Sutta, the great discourse of elephant's footprint. Venerable Sariputta also teach this one. He says somebody abuse you, for example, someone abuse you, you feel unpleasant feeling. Then you start to investigate where the unpleasant feeling comes from. The Venerable Sariputta teach. Then, through investigation, you know it comes from ear contact. Unpleasant sound comes, impinges the ear sensitivity, then produce unpleasant feeling. So then you contemplate sound also impermanent, sound contact, ear contact also impermanent, feeling also impermanent. If we can contemplate in this way, we turn the unpleasant feeling to wisdom. If we do not contemplate in this way, we will be carried away by unpleasant feeling and give rise to anger. Anger will follow unpleasant feeling, you know. So we're creating karma in order not to, you know, act unwisely. So we contemplate contact impermanent, feeling impermanent. Then we turn everything to become wisdom. Okay? So you contemplate impermanent. Then the next one, allow it to be. Whatever happened, allow it to be. Allow it come, allowing it comes, allowing it it goes. Then the last step, letting go. Once you contemplate impermanent and allow it to be, then you, your consciousness must ready to let go. If you contemplate impermanent, but your mind, no, don't go away. What's a good feeling, pleasant feeling? Although you contemplate, but your mind still cling to it, crave for it, don't go away. Then you will not go away. So your mind also must ready to let go. Letting go. Then if you can practice in this way, then very soon you will see whatever phenomena arise, it pass away very fast. Whatever arises, it passes away. Sometimes certain phenomena arises, does not pass away so fast. Why? Because our mind cling to it. Our mind not ready to let go. Then it will not pass. So your observing mind must free from defilements. Your observing mind must free from any craving, any clinging. You must ready to let go of it, whether good or bad, let go. Then it passes away very fast. So if you come to a stage, whatever arises, whatever you observe arise, passing away, then you will come to understand what good. You will come to a stage, you become disenchanted. You become disgust towards whatever phenomena. And this is very important stage when practicing vipassana. If you're practicing vipassana and without reaching the disenchantment or disgust, you will not reach liberation. The three stages are very important, the two stages. One, to see arising and passing away. But this arising and passing away, not arising, okay, 3 minutes only passing away. Not this type of arising and passing away. What I meant is arising very fast. Arising, you cannot see, you cannot note anymore. You just see arising, passing away. Not what, only 2 seconds, 5 minutes only pass away. No, that not enough power. Very fast arising and passing away. This we call Udayapayajnana. The inside knowledge of arising and passing away. This very important stage. Buddha always mentioned this stage in the sutta. This stage. And this stage lead to dispassion. We call disenchantment. Nibbidha-jnana. Disenchantment towards what is arising and passing away. You become disgust. Disenchanted. Only when you become disenchanted, only when you disenchanted, then you become dispassion. Viraga. You no more delight. No more delight in whatever formations. Then Buddha say after viraga, then you become liberated. Finally, you become liberated. So it's very important to have inside knowledge of fast arising and passing away. So when you see arising and passing away, first you see arising, passing away, then you understand. You understand the word of the Buddha very, very correctly. The Buddha said, whatever arises is the arising of suffering. Whatever ceases is the cessation of suffering. You thoroughly understand, completely experience what Buddha said. At the time you do not see any beings, not see anything. You only see arising, passing, arising. So you understand whatever arises is arising of suffering. Whatever ceases is the cessation of suffering. And your knowledge is independence on others. This experience is independence on others. Not dependent on the Buddha. Not dependent on your teacher. Your practical experience. Your faith becomes unshakable. So this is very important. So to contemplate, I would recommend you contemplate impermanent rather than not. Like for example, pain. I will recommend you not impermanent rather than pain. Because impermanent, this word is very powerful. This word will teach you to let go. If you know pain, you still feel the pain. More and more painful. So why not change a word? impermanent. This impermanent will teach you how to let go. You're clinging to the body. So in Burma, there's one famous Searo called Mogok Searo. His method is so easy. Whatever arises, just not arising, passing away. Just not only arising and passing away. None else. None other. Arising, passing away. Just what I say, impermanent. But not enough. No? As I teach in this shift, you've got to disidentify, you've got to investigate. Investigate is very important. It's the one of the factors of enlightenment, investigation. Okay. So if you reach that, if you reach the stage arising and passing away, then you will become disenchanted. When you become disenchanted, you become dispassionate. When you become dispassionate, your mind becomes liberated, moment to moment. From moment to moment until final liberation. Okay, that's enough for today. Any question? No. Okay, good.